Hello, this is Nicholas Acosta, and today I am going to do a review of the 2016 MacBook Pro with Touch Bar. So, what is new with this computer? Well, it has a lot of cool features. Right now, I have it sitting right here. It's powered up. It's very, very quiet in terms of the fans. The speakers on this machine are nice. It's a 15-inch model with 16 gigs of RAM, Touch ID. It has 256 gigabytes of SSD storage, which is, of course, solid-state drive. And you can't replace the drive, but by the way, everything is soldered to the motherboard of this computer. So when we had the moving hard drive and stuff, we were able to, you know, take it apart, put new RAM in the computer. Now, with the latest, these latest computers, we're not able to add a hard drive ourselves. Everything is soldered to the board, the motherboard, like I said. But this is one of the first computers to have a touch bar. And the touch bar replaces the function keys, the F1 through F12 keys. If you remember on the older MacBook Pro models, or the MacBook models, I should say, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, the desktops, you had your function keys, your F1 through F12 keys. So that hasn't changed on the desktop models. The MacBook Airs still have them, and the previous MacBook Pros still have them. But ever since the newest ones were unveiled at Apple's event in October, they've completely removed the physical function keys and replaced it with a glass strip at the top of the keyboard known as the touch bar. Not only does this have a touch bar, but it also has a Touch ID sensor. So, if you are, sorry about that, if you are familiarized with the Touch ID on your iOS device, such as starting with the iPhone 5S, the iPhone 6, 6S, 7, things like that, those all have fingerprint scanners. Also, for example, the iPads, such as the iPad Pro, they all have a fingerprint scanner. Well, the MacBook Pro was the first computer to get a Touch ID scanner as well. Now, this is using the second generation scanner, Touch ID scanner. So you're able to purchase apps through the iTunes store, through the App Store, or purchase music, purchase and anything, make iTunes purchases, iBooks, whatever. This also allows you to use Apple Pay on this machine. And of course, you use that with Touch ID. You're able to link your your debit card or credit card, whatever. You can even use the one that you have on file. But this works with Apple Pay. Of course, Apple Pay on the web, on websites when ordering items. So that's some great functionality that we have. Of course, we have Siri. So you can access Siri. So for example, I'm on the desktop right now. If I say, what time is it?
The time is 5:12 p.m.
You are current.
And
inside the scroll area to revert back to default.
Because we have the Siri app on the dock, when you first get your new MacBook Pro, it'll be on the top of, I think it's the second item in the dock, the second icon in the dock. So let's try that.
What time is it?
We will enable Siri again and ask her. That way you'll be able to hear what she says, because VoiceOver was speaking over it. What time is it?
It's 5:13 p.m. Happy Hanukkah, or my personal favorite, Zanuka.
Wow, that's funny. Wow, okay, so Siri is cracking some jokes on the podcast. You go, Siri. Anyway, we are not going to mess around with Siri now. I want to talk about what I was talking about earlier. So, of course, this does have Siri. If you're familiar with Siri on iOS, then it's already made its way to the Mac thanks to macOS Sierra. Great operating system. The keyboard and the trackpad have also been redesigned. The trackpad is significantly larger. Of course, it's haptic feedback, so it barely moves, the trackpad. Whenever you use it to click on something, it's a virtual click. And of course, it delivers haptic feedback, so it vibrates and, you know. Also, it's larger. It's larger than the previous trackpads that have been on the previous models of the MacBook Pro. So when you're typing on the keyboard, you have to lay your palms. If you can lay your palms on the trackpad, both of your palms, and then you can use the keyboard. Now the keyboard has been updated. I'm coming from the late 2011 MacBook Pro, and that the keys used to sink all the way down. I hope I'm explaining this the proper way, but I was able to type and hit the keys hard. Now, when you type on here, it doesn't feel comfortable when you're slamming on the keys. I know a few people who slam on the keys when they're typing, and you know, they make a lot of noise when they're doing it. But these keys weren't designed to slam. If you know, you have to really feel comfortable to type on this keyboard. Just type very, very softly, and you know, you don't worry about slamming on the keys. I know when I'm searching for something, I just hit enter, or if I want to do control option space on something, I just hold down the control and option keys and just tap the space bar lightly, and then it gets the job done. So the keyboard has been redesigned. The keys are more, they're squished together. They're, I wouldn't say squished, but if I compare it to the MacBook Pro that I had before, there was a little bit of space around where the speakers are and where the keyboard meets, there was a little bit of space. Now the keys kind of feel all squished together they just feel squished together. That's the easiest way that I can put it. But like I said, you have access to the touch bar, and that's where things get interesting. So being that we're in the Siri app right now, I'm going to go to the touch bar, and the touch bar will change depending on what app you're in. The apps that come with the MacBook Pro, the new one with the touch bar, of course, the apps that come with it are already optimized with the touch bar. Mail, messages, iTunes, Pages, Numbers, Keynote, iMovie, GarageBand, all the apps that come preloaded with the new Mac already have support for the touch bar. And you know, Apple's probably gonna release a few updates here and there to make it better for people who use the touch bar, but right now it's available, that functionality. And other apps that are in the App Store and that aren't in the App Store, you know, other developers are gonna take advantage of the touch bar as time goes on. But being that it was just released in October, being that this new machine was released in October, I would say in about anywhere from 6 months to a year, we should see touch bar support in a lot of the apps that we use. So now I want to take you on a tour of the touch bar using VoiceOver. It is accessible, and the touch bar operates on a variant of watchOS, and it is also using a special chip called the T1 chip. That's what it's using. It's fast. Now, visually, you can see all the software buttons, the software functions of whatever app you're in. If you're in the Finder, you're gonna see Finder-specific items appear on the touch bar. VoiceOver will also read them, but there are two parts to the touch bar. The left hand side, you're gonna have your escape button, and you're gonna have whatever app you're in, whatever the app is gonna take advantage of on the left hand side. So if you're in the mail app, you will have functions on the left hand side of the tool of the touch bar to reply all, archive, you'll have options when you compose an email to send a message to, all different things. And if you're a VoiceOver user and you do not have the 2016 MacBook Pro and you're relying on the shortcuts, if you're a VoiceOver user and you use a lot of shortcuts, you're gonna say, okay, well, I just composed a message, I'm just gonna hit Command Shift D. Yes, Command Shift D sends a message, but to me it's easier if you're using the touch bar and you hit the send button on the touch bar. So what I'm gonna do is give you an example. I'm gonna touch the touch bar right now. I'm gonna just hit escape to exit out of where we are right now. And
Finder, desktop escape button, back escape button. You are currently on a button. To press this button,
if it's gonna escape, okay, yes, it did escape. So we hit escape, and just to verify that there are no apps running,
Finder.
There are no apps running right now. So I'm going to go to the dock with VOD, of course, holding down the control and option keys and hitting D.
Mail
5 of 20. So and we end up on mail. So we'll open mail.
Mail inbox window sort by.
This machine is super super fast, and we're in mail. And I want to show you what we have on
mail. Kevin Chuck.
What we have on the touch bar when we're in mail. Because we have touch bar functionality. So we're gonna focus right now, we're gonna focus on what's on the left of the touch bar. When we get to the middle, you'll know when we get to the middle because it's gonna say expand. Once we get to that button, we're gonna stop. And I'm going to tell you what's gonna happen on the right hand side of the touch bar. So we're gonna hit
escape button.
The escape.
On the button.
That's the first button.
Double tap compose button.
Compose.
Reply all.
Reply all.
Archive. Gint button.
Archive.
Move to predicted folder. Radio
button. Move to predicted folder.
Mark as junk.
Gint. Mark as junk.
Flag. Gint unchecked.
Flag.
Expand button.
Expand.
You are current.
Now, we're going to stop at expand because I want to say what's going to happen next here. When you're using the touch bar with VoiceOver or visually, whatever you're doing on the touch bar, if you're sending an email, you're going to work with the items that are on the left-hand side of the touch bar. The right-hand side of the touch bar always stays the same. Everything on the right always stays the same, and I'm going to show you what you have on the right-hand side.
Display brightness button, volume button, mute button, Siri button.
Display brightness, volume, mute, and Siri.
Mute.
So you can access.
Display bright expand button.
So you can access Siri from the touch bar as well by just double tapping and asking her whatever you want to ask for. I don't really use Siri on the touch bar. I normally just hold down the command and the space bar until I get the beep. When Siri starts listening, like I did previously, and then I ask that way, and then she'll come back and answer my question. I don't use it on the touch bar. I find that it's easier just holding down the command key and the space bar together, hearing the beep, say what I want, and then she replies. So once you go to the right of the expand button, the brightness, the volume, the Siri button, the mute button, that's always going to be there. You're just focused on what's on the left hand side from the left to the middle of the touch bar. The right hand side never changes. Now I am going to send a message to my mother, for example, and I've been just testing things out with the mail app and seeing what works for me. So I'm going to pause the recording, compose the message, and we will see what we have when we compose a message in the mail app, because it does change. So I'll be right back. Okay, so I'm back. I just composed the email, and so want to show you what's on the touch bar now because we have different options. And you probably won't have to press Command-Shift-D once you get used to it. But you can if you want to.
Escape button.
Escape.
Currently on the button. Send button.
Send.
Character picker. Touch on.
Character picker.
Candidate bar. Expand.
Candidate bar.
I button. The button. It button. Expand button.
I. You are. The and it. You heard those words. Those are word predictions. If you're familiar with predictive typing on iOS, where above the keyboard you get the bar to where it's predicting what it thinks you want to say, well, you can do that here on the touch bar. The word, you know, if you want to enter in a word, or if it thinks that you're going to enter in that word, you can access the predictive typing here on the touch bar. So I'm going to go back to the escape.
Disk expand button, escape button, you are escape button, send button.
And double tap on send. And I didn't hear it send.
Escape button, send, dimmed button, you are currently on the button. Escape, send, dimmed button, you are currently.
Well, it did send. I didn't hear it send, but that's what you would do. You would hit the send button, and it would have sent automatically. But I didn't hear the send, so that's okay. So
close button. Press close button. You sort text, sort.
So now we're going to hit Command Q
menu button
to exit out of here.
Inside of a group. Quit mail.
Command Q. And now
Met Finder Desktop Macintosh HD volume.
And now
volume.
We are going to go into System Preferences and talk about what we have in terms of the Touch ID, because I already set up Touch ID on this computer when I was setting up the computer for the first time. And by the way, because of the second generation scanner that it's using, it's very, very fast. It takes less than a second for the computer to go into the desktop. So
Finder.
I'm going to go
KJ Macintosh HD volume.
To go,
you are currently on the vault
to the dock.
Mail contact number message face paid number key item iBook apps system separate
system preferences.
Finder, system preferences.
Open that.
Preference and tool preference and preference and general general button.
General, we're gonna go to Touch ID.
Left six spot notify display energies keyboard button mouse track and printer sound stuck by internet wallet apps or network Bluetooth extension sharing Touch ID users Touch ID button.
Touch ID.
Touch ID window. Dip toolbar. Touch ID lets you use your fingerprint to unlock your Mac and make purchases with Apple Pay, iTunes, and the App Store.
We have that.
Remove fingerprint. Finger one button.
Remove fingerprint.
Currently on the button. Finger one. Contents.
You can edit that.
Currently on the text.
Title.
To enter text.
You can name it something else.
Add a fingerprint button.
Add a fingerprint.
Add a fingerprint button.
Add a fingerprint.
Use Touch ID for.
Use Touch ID for. Now before I show you what we have here, the same way you're used to setting up the fingerprint scanner on your iOS device is the same way you do it here. It'll tell you to place your finger, lift your finger, place your finger. The only thing it doesn't do, it doesn't vibrate. And of course, on the iPad Pro or the iPad Air 2, whatever, it doesn't vibrate. It only vibrates, if it does vibrate, it's only going to vibrate on the iPhone. But you just set it up the normal way you set it up. You'll set it up on the computer where you just keep lifting your finger, placing your finger, and it'll speak the percentage for you and let you know that it's almost done. So we'll see what we have.
Use Touch ID 4.
Use Touch ID 4.
Unlocking your Mac. Check.
Unlocking your Mac.
Apple Pay.
Check. Apple Pay.
iTunes and App Store. Check.
iTunes and App Store.
Help button.
And help.
You are current.
So you, if you, you know, Apple Pay was just introduced for the web, so then you can go inside system preferences, and I'll show you where to go, and we'll explore that pane in a bit. But it's under Wallet and Apple Pay, and you can enable your credit card. You can add your credit card here, your debit card, whatever, and then you can use Touch ID to pay with Apple Pay. So that's what we have.
Let
me just make sure.
Close button.
Yes, that's all we have. So we're gonna Command Q out of that, and we're going to go into the dock. System preferences.
System preferences. Window. Preference. Toolbar. Preference and preference in general desktop and script desktop general but desktop mid lexus notice edge not track print sets to bike enter wallet app store
wallet and Apple Pay.
Press you are currently on the Apple Pay / image Apple Pay logo image add credit debit or store cards and use Apple Pay with Touch ID to make purchases easily and securely right from your Mac. You are
so you can add debit, credit, or store cards. The same thing you could do on iOS, and you can either add it if you have a credit card or a debit card stored on your Apple ID. You can do it that way, or you know you can do it the normal way where you just do it manually, and then you call your bank or whatever it asks you to do to confirm that it was you that was adding your card to work with Apple Pay. In this case, when I set up Apple Pay on iOS, I had to call the bank, but you don't always have to call the bank. It just depends on what options are available. Some banks are different, but that's what you would do to set up Apple Pay.
Text element. Text. Apple may use anonymous location data to improve its services. Your phone number, account, and location information may be sent to your card issuer to set up Apple Pay. Link.
Good information.
Link. Add card. Button.
Add card.
Button.
Help.
Help.
And that's all.
Close button.
You have.
Close button. You are currently on a close button. Tool finder. Desktop.
So.
Volume.
Now.
On a volume.
I also want to bring this to everyone's attention that when you first open your Mac, you will not hear the startup chime that all of you were used to. In the latest MacBook Pro, it was disabled. The good news is that you can re-enable it in the terminal, which I don't know how to do it in the terminal yet, but I'm going to find out how you do it. If you're used to using the terminal, if you feel comfortable, then you can re-enable it yourself. But as of, you know, 1984, we were used to using, I know you all of the Mac users were used to hearing that startup chime. But I think Apple disabled it because, you know, if you're in school, you're in a library, you don't want to disturb anyone when you go and turn on the computer, whether you're going to restart it or turn it on for the first time, you don't want to disturb them with the chime. So that's probably why they disabled it. Also, when you open the lid of the computer, it's going to turn on automatically. You don't have to go in and enter in. You don't have to open up the lid and hit the power button. The power button acts like the Touch ID button, of course. It's everything built in one. I also want to talk about how you will enable and disable VoiceOver, being that we don't have the physical function keys. So to disable VoiceOver and to re-enable it, you hold down the Command key, and you look for the Touch ID, which is also the power button, and you triple click the Touch ID while holding down the Command key.
VoiceOver off.
That turns off VoiceOver. To turn VoiceOver back on, you hold down the Command key, and you triple click the /Touch ID button.
VoiceOver on Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volume. You are currently on a volume.
So that's the way that we turn on and off VoiceOver. Now, I want to talk about the function keys. Being that the function keys aren't there, you are still able to access the function keys. And there are two ways to get to this. I'm going to go and show you the first way. You're going to hold down the FN key. The FN key, of course, is the button to the bottom left, the first button on the keyboard, all the way to the bottom left hand side. You're going to hold down the FN key, control, and option. Those are the three keys. From the function key to the right of that is the control key, and to the right of that is the option key. You can hold these down and you put your finger on the touch bar.
Escape button, F4 key, button, F3 key, F2 key, F1 key.
Escape, you have your escape button,
F1 key,
button, F1, F2, key, F2, F2, F3, F4, F5, F6, F7, F8,
F9, F10, F11 key, button, F12 key, button.
And of course, it's not saying the keys the right way once you get to 10, because I don't have it set that way. I still have to set my VoiceOver preferences to speak as digits, so that's why it's speaking the numbers that way. So if you want to see where you are, or you want to know how many running apps you have, how many apps are running on the system right now, you hold down FN, control, and option keys.
F1, F8 key button, F escape button, F1 key button. You are currently on Finder, one running application.
Finder, one running application. You just double tap while you're holding FN, control, and option. You hold down that. You hold down those three keys with your left hand. I'm doing it with the left hand because that's the easiest way for me to do it. And then with the right hand, I have my index finger, my pointer, on the touch bar.
F2 key button. Your desktop.
We'll say. Desktop. F3.
Macintosh HD volume is in the voiceover cursor.
We'll tell you what's in the voiceover cursor.
F3 key, Macintosh, F2 key, desktop, F1 key, Finder, one running application.
One running application. And example, you just keep going back and forth. But, you know, that's an easy command. Once you let go of those three keys, FN, control, and option.
Forward, icon view, forward, back, escape button.
You're on normal functionality of the touch bar. So because we're on the desktop, it's going to show us the Finder actions that we have. So
escape button, back
forward,
icon view,
quick look,
share,
tag,
and expand.
That's from the left side to the middle. Everything on the right hand, like I said, stays the same. Your screen brightness, your Siri, your volume, your mute, everything stays the same. That never changes. So, same thing. We will go and open, let's see. Let me think of another app. I would do messages, but here's the perfect example. We're going to open up Safari, and we're going to explore what's going to be on the touch bar, being that Safari has touch bar functionality.
TikTok. Sit separate, sit in prep, app, sit separator, sit app, I keep no pick, fame, mask, foot, map, remote, note, cal, contact, mail, Safari, launch, add, Safari, find.
We'll open up Safari.
Favorites, window, toolbar, new tab, toolbar, new tab, button, create a new.
And we are in Safari, so now we'll go to the escape.
Escape button, you are escape button. Go back, dim.
Go back.
Go forward. Dim. Search button.
Search.
New tab button.
New tab.
Expand button.
And expand.
You are currently on.
That expand button will always be there for whatever app you're using. But you basically gotta, like, for the search button, you can go in here and then you can search for whatever. You wanna hit the back button or the forward button. If you're familiar with these buttons being in iOS, well, they're on the touch bar as well. When you're using an iPad and you're presented with the back and the forward buttons in Safari or in Google Chrome on the iPad, or the iPhone, you have that touch bar functionality here as well. If you're in the Messages app, you'll have the same thing you had in Mail. You'll probably have your predictive type suggestions, but you'll also have the emoji picker in the Messages app, which wasn't in the Mail app, and you'll be able to access the emoji, and you can send them when you're sending a text message to someone. I don't use the messages app on the Mac. It's not that I don't like it. I'm just used to using the one on iOS. Let's see what other apps support the touch bar. So if you're in iTunes and you want to play a song, you have your previous, your play pause button, your next button to go previous track, next track. Instead of using command right arrow to go to the next track, command left arrow to go to the previous track. You can also add to a playlist with the touch bar. If you're using numbers, Keynote, Pages, you have your formatting options in the touch bar to format your text. There are many, many apps that come preloaded with all new Macs, and Apple has added the touch bar functionality within their apps, but it's going to take anywhere from probably, I'm guessing, 6 months to a year for app developers to enable their apps to work with the touch bar. And I'm wondering what type of functionality they're going to enable in the touch bar, but I can't wait to find out. So,
escape button.
I'm going to hit Command Q.
Double tap anywhere on the touch finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume. You are currently on the volume.
To exit out of Safari. Now, I want to talk about the four ports that are on the computer. Now, we don't have regular USB ports. The USB-A ports that all of you were used to are not on the latest MacBook Pro, 2016 MacBook Pro. We only have four ports. There are a few things that we don't have. We don't have... Because I'm coming from a late 2011 MacBook Pro, so, of course, now the headphone jack is now on the right-hand side, the top right-hand side. There are two USB-C ports on the right-hand side. You have your headphone at the top right, the two USB-C ports, and then to the left you have another two USB-C ports, and nothing else. No SD card slot, no... And the headphone jack, of course, was moved to the right-hand side. So, these are USB-C. And when we're talking about USB-C, the ports are smaller. So you can't take your regular thumb drive and plug it in because it will not fit. The USB-C ports are about the size of the Lightning connector for the Lightning port on an iPhone or an iPad. Now, this doesn't mean you can't plug the same cable in because it's not going to work. It probably won't even fit. But I think it's about the same size as a Lightning port on an iPad or an iPhone. But when you get the laptop, of course, you get the laptop, you get your power brick, and then we no longer have the MagSafe power adapter that we were used to having. So there's no more magnets in the charger. The end of the cable gets plugged in to the power brick, and then the other end you plug in to the MacBook Pro. So it comes, you get the power brick in the box, and then you get the separate cable that you connect to the power brick. It's not like on the 2012 model of the MacBook Pro where the power brick was a bit different, and you had to use the little hooks to roll the cable up, and then you were able to store it that way. But this one has it separate. You have the power brick, and then you have the cable that is wrapped up separately. So there is no MagSafe, there are no magnets on the left hand side of this unit. Now, you can plug the charger in any USB port you want. Any of the four USB ports that there are that there are on this that are, that this machine has, you can plug the charger in any port. It'll charge the same way. But if you're used to the MagSafe connector, you know, the magnet just snaps right into the left-hand side of the Mac, then maybe this MacBook Pro isn't good for you. Although they do have third-party MagSafe connectors, I haven't purchased any. Some people say they like it, some say they don't. Do I plan to purchase an adapter for MagSafe functionality? No. I'm used to it. I don't have to worry about a dog, or I don't have to worry about other children coming and the Mac gets pulled off the table or possibly the cord breaks. The MagSafe adapter was cool because that didn't have to happen. If someone stepped on the cable, you wouldn't have to worry about the Mac coming off the table. The cord might come off, but nothing would happen. Nothing would break. This time, if you're worried about that, then the 2016 MacBook Pro isn't good for you at this point. Unless you're willing to purchase these adapters to work and give you MagSafe-like functionality. What else is there to know about the USB-C ports? Well, I said previously that you cannot use it for plugging USB-A devices like thumb drives, digital recorders, portable hard drives. You need a special adapter or what we call dongles. Apple sells their dongles. They offer dongles for about $9. You can buy them. And then you're able to plug it into the USB-C port, but then you'll also have functionality for USB-A devices. I don't think I'm going to purchase a dongle because I really don't use the Mac to charge my iPhone or my iPad. I still have a Windows PC which still has the standard USB ports, the USB-A ports that we're used to, the bigger ports. These are smaller, so that's why you would need an adapter. Also, this doesn't have an Ethernet port. My other one, late 2011 MacBook Pro, had an Ethernet port, so you were able to use an Ethernet cable. But like I said, there's adapters for these things. These are four Thunderbolt 3 ports, so you can plug in up to two 5K displays simultaneously. In this computer, you can plug two of them at the same time. Of course, this may slow down the machine.
Desktop, Macintosh HD volume.
Excuse me.
You are currently on the volume.
This will slow down the machine. I don't use any displays, so I really don't have to worry about that. And that's all you really need to worry about. If you use USB cables a lot, then you might need to purchase a dongle. But I really don't worry about that for me because I have a separate computer that I use, and it offers USB functionality. So that's what you need to expect. Getting back to the keyboard, you know, go to an Apple store near you. Play with you know, play with it for a few minutes. See how you like the touch bar. If you want to spend the money, take one home and play with it. And now, depending, I think Apple gives you about 14 days, which is 2 weeks exactly, to play with the unit. If you don't like it, you bring it back to the store, you get your money back. But if you live near an Apple store, you know, you can go to an Apple store and play with it. Me, listening to a lot of YouTube videos and reading a lot of reviews over the internet, I said, you know what? I am going to get the MacBook Pro, and I'm not going to worry about the function keys, because there are no physical function keys on this unit. We just have a piece of glass and running a watch, a variant of watchOS. Like I said, the T1 chip works fine. There's really no lag. You can use Explore with touch using VoiceOver, or you can use the flick gesture. I don't use the Explore by touch because I think it takes a longer amount of time. You don't have your physical escape button, so you can flick on the touch bar. You can use the escape button, the virtual escape button, the software button, and you can escape out of items that way. So not having physical keys are, you know, it's okay. I mean, you have the two ways, like I said earlier, of accessing your function keys. You have, you know, being able to hold down FN, control and option, and access it that way. Or you can hold down your control, you can hold down your
Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volume.
You can hold down your FN key, control and option keys together and use the number row. And you can
Macintosh HD, Volume is in the VoiceOver cursor.
You can use the touch bar. If you go to the bottom of the touch bar, you have your number row.
Desktop, Finder, one running application.
And you can access your function keys that way if you don't feel comfortable using the touch bar, which was something that I should have mentioned earlier when I was using the touch bar to access the function keys. But you have that way as well. If you don't want to deal with the touch bar, you just hold down FN, control and option, and then you can use the touch bar to see how many running apps you have.
Desktop.
Go to the desktop.
Macintosh HD, Volume is in the VoiceOver cursor.
See what's, you know, you can use, you know, the number 3 with holding down the FN, control and option to see what's in the VoiceOver cursor.
Finder, one running application.
And like, just back and forth if you want to. But those are the two ways of accessing the function keys. So, is this the right MacBook Pro for you? Well, like I said, you have to really see. You have to really sit down and think about, is it the right keyboard for you? If you're used to typing by banging on the keys, then this might not feel comfortable to you, being that the mechanism has changed. They use the butterfly mechanism, and so they've designed it so that you have to use the keys and you type lightly, gently on it, because I've tried banging on the keys and it doesn't feel comfortable for me. The trackpad, there's really no getting used to. A larger trackpad might be good for those of you, because you'll have room. Before I end this podcast, I use Xcode a lot. And for those of you that don't know, Xcode is the application that Apple, that's in the Apple Mac App Store, which allows developers to write apps for iOS, Mac, tvOS, and for the Apple Watch, I just want to show you how fast and responsive Xcode is when you open it for the first time. I'm coming from a 2011 MacBook Pro that only had 4 gigs of RAM. This one has 16. And I want to show you how fast it takes.
Button. You are currently on a button to press this
for
double tap anywhere on the touch finder desktop.
It how long it takes for Xcode to open up on a 2016 MacBook Pro.
Xcode icon image.
So we're going to hit it.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, Audit Xcode, welcome to Xcode, window, recent projects, table.
And Xcode is opened. It takes less than a second for Xcode to open. And there's no busy, 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 busy. No, you don't have to deal with that here. So I'm going to close it, and you're going to see
version 8.2.1, 8 recent projects, get started, recent projects, table, count plus.
You're going to see how fast it closes.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume.
And it's closed already.
Currently on the volume.
So the 13-inch MacBook Pro, its default is 8 gigs of RAM with 256 gig solid-state drive. And then the 15-inch is 16 gigs of RAM with 256 SSD, and you could have it configured for more, to have more storage. I know someone who has a 16 gig model with 512 gigabytes, but you can't do this on your own. Everything is soldered to the motherboard, so you would have to bring it in to a authorized Apple dealer, authorized Apple store, and they will configure it to the way you want it. If you want it with more storage, you can get more storage with it. As far as I had mentioned, the USB ports not being there, the USB-A ports not being there, you can still get an adapter. If you use a card reader, the SD card slot isn't there, so you would also need to purchase a card reader that you would plug into your dongle, or that would work with the USB-C standard. So that's basically what I wanted to get out of the way. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I want to end by giving my email address, which is nicholasacosta775@gmail.com. That is nicholasacosta775 at gmail.com. So I hope that you've gotten a little taste of what this MacBook Pro has to offer, and think about it for a few days. And if you have any feedback, please send me an email and I will answer any questions that you have. So thank you and have a nice day.